In. It's the river of God's anointing. And it's a huge river of joy, peace, wow, living in that river of God's anointing. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're so glad to be with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. To my left is Aaron Boone, our guitarist.
Hello.
And singer extraordinaire.
She did a great job this morning, too.
She's wild, isn't she? And then to my right is Nan Watson. How are you, Nan?
Blessed.
Boy, girls, did we have church today?
We had church today.
Oh, we had church in a big way.
Where's the bell?
Where is the bell?
There's the bell. Applause. Applesauce. Praise God. Thank you, Bill. And we just realized we didn't have my bell. You know, when I was teaching the other night, Wednesday night, I needed my bell at church, Bill. I needed it to make a point, and I didn't have it.
Someone needed to ring your bell.
There you go. And see, there we go. I love it when we have the bell. It makes a point. We're grateful to you, Engineer Bill. It's always a pleasure to see you here on Sunday afternoons. You're a joy to us.
I love that song, Swimming in the River of...
Yeah, that great song, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it a wonderful song? It's been our intro now for lo these many years, which, by the way, on April 15th is going to be 5 years. Yeah. We're going to have a big old party here at the station on April 15th for our 5th anniversary. Pretty exciting. This is show number 252, 252 shows. Wow. And so exciting. You can find them on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. They are there. And go listen to some that you've missed. We are so excited about this show today. I don't know, girls, I don't know if there's ever a show we do that we're not excited, though. You know, because it's an opportunity, isn't it, Aaron? You want to talk about that?
We're always excited.
We're always excited?
Yes.
Why are we always excited, Aaron Boone?
Because we love Jesus.
Ooh, that's it. We love Jesus.
But even it starts before here, though. It starts when we get to church. I mean, you walk in the door saying, it's going to be a great day today. We're going to have a great day today. It's going to be a mighty day in the Lord today. Every Sunday, you walk in saying that. Every Sunday.
And we never know what God's going to do, but he so showed up. He so showed up today, did he not?
He did.
Power of God, the anointing of God. There were just a whole lot of tears and a whole lot of moving of God.
Fran was trying to send me a message. I'd send her a message there. It says hello.
Okay. All right.
I can't see video. There we go.
Now we got it. Video up. And by the way, internet is up. If you want to talk to us during the show at any time, you can email me direct right here, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can send a I love you, or you can send a...
you know, I made a mistake.
Question, comment?
I made a mistake.
What's that?
I should have said Nan instead of Fran.
Yes, you said Fran, but that's okay. We forgive you.
I love you, too, anyway.
I love you, Nan.
I love you, too. No problem.
Yes. Nanner. Healed back surgery boy.
Nanner? That's what her name is.
Nanner Banana.
That's what they call me.
Oh, wow. I
Nanner
like that.
Banana.
Go for it, brother. It's okay. Yeah.
Nan. What just happened at the nursing home? We just came from the nursing home. The first Sunday of the month is like a busy Sunday for us. We go directly from church, which was prolonged today because of everything God did. And then we went straight to the nursing home. And you spoke, and you did a great job.
Thank you.
And were you blessed by them?
Oh, it's always such a blessing to go.
It really is.
And, well, we have, like, our regulars. That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
It's like just in church, we always have your regulars, and then the ones who come, some don't come. And that's what we have is our little regulars that we get to know, you know, going every month. And,
yeah.
And they're really singing out. They
are. They're knowing the songs. We try to repeat a lot of the same songs so that. But, you know, I mean, I was just cracking up today. We're doing I'll Fly Away, Lola Lordy. And they just love that. They just love that. And it's just such a blessing, isn't it, to be at Palm Garden the first Sunday of every month, 1:30, if anybody wants to join us out there, Curlew and McMullen.
Well, you know, we tell them how much we enjoy going. I don't really think they really realize just how much we enjoy going. I mean, it's not by happenstance that we kind of, well, let's do something today.
No.
We really like to go and visit. And they're part, like I told them this morning, they're part of our church.
Exactly.
They're part of Beacon.
Yeah. And they're so sweet. Oh, we had a guy there today, one of the residents, first time that we've ever had him with us in the service. His name was Howard. Howard shouted, Aaron, like you would not believe. You know how Connie shouts, you know?
Yeah.
This guy, Howard, he got busy shouting. And it was wild. And then he got all the others shouting, and it was great. Praise God. So we're excited about what God's doing. And we had a powerful move of God in our service today. So much wonderful music, but just the anointing of God, which that our first theme song is always about the anointing. And just the presence of God. Aaron, did it do anything in your life today?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, you could just feel the Holy Spirit, and it starts right away because when we start with worship, and I mean, you just feel the Spirit resting there, you know, and man, it just blows you away.
It does, doesn't it? It's just wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord like that, and powerful, powerful day. A lot of ministry to people and. You got your tape recorder out, Nan, and recorded some prophetic words that were spoken to people. It was just a really
got
fun
two
day.
Of them out just in case.
Yeah, yeah. So we got all those. So it was great. So we are excited about today's show, and we are in Ephesians, and I've been teaching a series called God's Goodness, Grace, and Glory, and today we're going to be in Ephesians 4. And this is very interesting today, what we're going to talk about, and I think you're all going to enjoy it. And it's going to get pretty nitty-gritty. So nitty-gritty is good, and we're excited about what God has to say to us. You have plenty of time. Call a friend. Tell them they can tune in. If you're any place in the world today, you can tune in to www.tantalk1340.com. Even in the Tampa Bay area, we have a lot of radio stations live in the Arkansas, Mississippi area, but you can always go to the internet, and that is tantalk1340.com, and you can actually see the video here in the station. And, did you want to comment, Bill?
I see there's a pretty sticky situation over in the Middle East with Syria.
Is there? I mean, I haven't listened to the news the last couple of days.
And I was wondering if you're going to put that on your prayer.
We can.
Yeah,
we can.
It looks pretty bad over there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll definitely do that. So let's start by prayer and let's get going. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this wonderful time to be in the house of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your kindness, your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the word of the hour. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the live music from Aaron that's coming up. We thank you, Lord, for the way you move so mightily in this radio show week after week. You get the glory, you get the praise. So we submit this to you and we just thank you for what you're going to do in every person's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Love them like Jesus by casting crowns.
The love of her life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to make sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding her view. She's looking to you, just love her like Jesus. Jesus, carry her to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves her. Stay by her side.
rental room painted blue. A little blessing from heaven would be there soon. Hope fades in the night, and blue skies turn to gray as a little one slips away. Jesus, carry them to Him. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that He loves them. Stay by their side. Love them like Jesus.
Praise God. Love them like Jesus. I love that song. That's a great Casting Crowns song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, why don't you go with us? The subject is love. And it's February coming up on Valentine's Day.
You just planned that perfect, didn't you?
It just did. It wasn't planned. But you know what? It is all about love. You know, the love that God has for us. And we quoted it a couple times today. We quoted it at the nursing home. Dan, you did. For God so
loved the world.
Go on.
Oh, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. Should not perish. Should not perish.
Should not perish.
And have everlasting life. Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. John 3:16. God so loved the world. That's what it's all about. It's that love, you know?
We can also just change a little bit and say, God so loved me.
God so loved me. Amen. And, you know, I think this is huge for a lot of people that they really don't realize how very much God loves them. We're going to start out with Ephesians 4, but I want to read the first couple verses in the NIV as a little different than where we were this morning in the message. As a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul talking, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We each have a calling. We each have things that God wants us to do. And I really believe, and I submit to all of you today, that until you begin to understand and seek God and ask Him, what do you have for me to do, God? What's my calling? Where do I fit in the body of Christ? A lot of times people just flounder around for a while and they feel like they don't belong. They feel like they're lost, or, you know, God can't use them. And God wants to use every single one of us in one way or another. And so often we've got to understand that we need to say, God, what is that? You know? And really want to know, don't you think?
Most definitely.
There you go. Most definitely. So look at verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through that bond of peace. I love those verses because Paul is really saying, here's what you need to be doing, guys. Mm. You need to be living a life that people look at you and say, oh, there's something different about them. You know, they're not like the average person walking down the street. The average person walking down the street a lot of times does not walk in a lot of love, don't you think? Mm-hmm. And yet God says, here's what I want for you. I want you to be walking this way. In the Message Bible, it starts out, in light of all this, here's what I want you to do. Paul says, while I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the Lord, I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run, on the road God called you to travel. God's got a calling on your life. He's got a road, a plan, a way you're supposed to be going, a direction you're supposed to be following. And Paul says right here, guys, get out there and run. Walk that walk. Run it. I mean, to me, running is a little more intense. I used to be a runner a long time ago until I hurt my back. And I tell you, running, it's huge. I mean, it's good to walk, but there's something about running. I mean, you're really my youngest son, Mark, is a runner. And so is my grandson, Chase. And they run. And they run distance things. And they run in races. And they run in all kinds of stuff. And it really is exciting for them to run, you know? And spiritually, we need to be running, not just limping, you know? You know what it's like when you're walking along and you got a hurt foot or a hurt leg and you just kind of limp around and you're just not really getting there. And a lot of us, I think, spiritually, and you can each comment on that if you want, I think a lot of us spiritually kind of limp through life instead of walk. Or run. We are just kind of, okay, now, God, I'm just going through the motions, you know. God is saying, it's time, guys, that you are on a path of not just walking, but running. Paul says, run on the road God called you to travel. And he goes on, he says, I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. I like that. Comment on that.
Well, what I was thinking, where it talks about loving one another.
Yeah.
And keeping the unity of the bond.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, you know, praying, God, what would you have me to do?
Right.
Well, you know, we're all have what he wants us to do specific. And,
right.
And what he has you doing.
Right.
Obviously, it's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm not a pastor.
Right.
And won't ever be a pastor. I'm like, you know. But I think that sometimes we have to be appreciative, maybe, is the word to use, to God, and be willing to be what he would have us, you know, like, there may be a sister sitting beside me who was like, well, God, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
Well, that person has a calling on their life for that. I do not. My calling will be different than hers.
Right.
So don't get bent out of shape by it. Just be thankful and work within what God has called you to do, period.
Amen.
Because if I start having jealousy of that person beside me, I'm not going to be walking what I'm supposed to be walking, because I'm going to be too consumed with jealousy of her what she's walking.
Absolutely.
Actually thinking, yeah, that's awesome, Nan. I was actually thinking too, I like that it says in the message, walk, better yet run, because there's such an urgency.
Yes.
There's a calling on your life. There's a purpose there.
Yes.
And God's message needs to be spread throughout the world. And there's so many people that are hurting and broken that don't know. And even people in churches, honestly.
Absolutely.
And that's, I mean, if you were to look at even just the people at Beacon of Hope, there's so many of us that can say, well, I came here and this was different because I had been hurt in church before.
Sure.
There's so many of us that can say that are like, you know, I didn't think I would ever come back to a church because I was hurt before.
Right.
So there's an urgency in what Christ is doing in your life, because he's coming back.
Amen.
And he's
coming back
soon.
Yes, he is.
Like, walk. Don't walk. Just
run.
Like, better yet, run. This is important. And
exactly.
It needs to get done. So
exactly.
Don't just, you know, limp along and get there when you get there. Don't walk along and stroll. Run there, because it needs to be done, and it needs to be done soon.
Amen. That is right on. And that's what Paul is saying here. On the road God called you to travel, run. And then let's go on. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I love that. Because, you know, when we just sit around on our hands, basically that's a figure of speech of saying, don't sit around and be a lazy bum. Don't just sit around and be a couch potato. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, the example you gave this morning of sitting on your hands.
I did sit on my hands.
That is just such a visual, as you said.
And then I had to put my microphone somewhere, so I put it between my knees.
Yeah. Couldn't preach very well that way, could you?
No. I could. Good point.
God just brought that one up.
Boing. You want to explain that, Ned?
Well, you use a microphone to teach, to preach.
Right.
And you're sitting there and it's way down between your knees. You're sitting on your hands. You can't do a whole lot of preaching while you're just sitting over there on that bench.
Right.
Because you move around when you're talking to interact with us. So, you know, in the front, you move around and, you know, you just couldn't do what God has called you to do if you sat there on your hands.
Exactly. And not only that, that's a good point. I've never been one that stands behind a pulpit. I never had a pulpit in my church in Indiana. We don't have a pulpit now. We have one, but it's in the office because we don't use it. I don't use it. I just use a four-legged stool to put my Bible on it because of that very thing. It's moving and making those points. And really, spiritually, this is what God is saying here, isn't he, Aaron?
Yeah, and I was just thinking, too, that can really go for anybody. Can you imagine what worship would be like if Nathan and I both sat on our hands?
Right.
We wouldn't be able to play our instruments.
Right.
There would be no for Madeline. And Ashley as well.
Drums, bass, piano.
I mean,
guitar. Yeah, if you all sat on your hands, there would be no music.
I couldn't push my buttons.
That's right. There you go, Bill. Exactly.
And
that's what Paul's saying here. Go ahead.
I think, like, you know, you might be able to find, like, a different way to do things, but is it really as efficient? You know? Like, are we really getting everything that we need to be getting done for the Lord?
And
we're sitting on our hands.
And remember, Jesus calls us in Matthew 9:35, harvest hands. That's who we are, you know. Get out there and be harvest hands, you know. Bring in the souls. Bring in the people. And we're going to do that by this message in Ephesians 4, which is you're going to attract people by the love that is within you. You know, when you get saved, God fills you up with his presence, okay? And he is love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Boom. You know? I mean, that's it. You know? Yeah, there we go. You know?
Go ahead. I want to piggyback on something that Aaron said. What it would be like if her or one of the other musicians were to just sit on their hands and just not, you know, take up their post. You know, we're a body that we're fit together perfectly by God.
Mm-hmm.
And if one person pulls back and doesn't do what they're supposed to do, it really can affect things that go
on.
I mean, if Aaron sat down and said, I'm just going to sit on my hands today, and I'm not going to play the guitar, well, we would miss the beauty of the guitar in the midst of...
Exactly.
God has brought together that praise band. Mm-hmm. And he's brought together four musicians and then the singers as well into that praise band. And if for one of those instruments to not be there, it leaves a gap.
It does.
And that's the way I think sometimes people... What I'm doing is not important. Well, everything you do for the
Lord
is important.
You do
and it
is
all
important.
Fits together, and they need to really, you know, fit
Absolutely.
Together. That's why God wants us all to get along.
I was just going to add on what Nan was saying. It's important if you do it to your best ability for the Lord.
Ooh, that is so true. And because when you're loving, that bell is getting worked out
work
a lot.
Out today, because I mean, you could be cleaning toilets and think, you know, that you're not important. And if you're doing that to the best of your ability
Absolutely.
For the glory of the Lord, then it is just as important as flying an airplane full of people.
You're preaching here, Aaron. Absolutely. You're right on because we got to give it all we got. We got to give it. If I walked in on Sunday morning and said, this is going to be just an average day, you know, man, I don't know why I even got up today. How would you guys feel? You wouldn't be ready and be pumped to have a service and expect God to show up. You would think, well, pastor doesn't think anything's going to happen today. I guess I don't either. Maybe I should have just stayed in bed. Right?
Right.
Okay? So we have to realize that all ministry comes from how much we love God. It comes from that place where the young lawyer said to Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? In Luke chapter 10, starting with verse 25. And Jesus said, how is it written to you? And he said, well, the way I see it, I'm to love the Lord my God with all my soul, my mind, and my strength, and my neighbor as myself, which we're going to talk about in Ephesians 4. And Jesus said, you got it. That's right. Do this and you shall live. So I propose that real life-changing ministry flows from a place of love. Okay? Love for God and love for each other. Just like the rich young lawyer said to Jesus. Well, love the Lord your God with all your soul, your mind, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And a big part of the problem is a lot of us don't love ourselves.
Ooh.
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 It's kind of strong there.
That is kind of strong there, Pastor. But it's true.
And if we don't love ourselves and if we don't appreciate the way God made us, we're talking right now in this first segment about being all that God's called you to be, using the talents and the gifts. So, Aaron, the first couple Sundays that you and Terry were at church last summer, we didn't know you played the guitar. We didn't know you sang. And a couple weeks into it, you must have liked us and you sent me an email. which I didn't even get that email, remember?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
And it's, yeah, and it said something like, I play guitar and sing. I forget what you said.
I think it actually just said I play guitar. I didn't even say anything about singing then either.
Okay.
But yeah, I said, I noticed there's no guitar player. Is there, you know.
Is there a reason for that? Do you not like guitar?
Is there room for, is there for room an addition?
Yes. And of course, we finally connected and figured out, yes. And now look where things are. But so if you are saying, if people say out there, well, I don't have any gifts, I don't have any talents. They do. There are things that they can do to serve the Lord. Like you said, if it's cleaning the house of God, the church, if it's running the sweeper, somebody's going to come in and clean carpet, some of our people tomorrow, and get rid of some stains. Yeah. I mean, that is all ministry.
I mean, look at Sean. Like, that, Sean doesn't play on the praise team.
No, but Sean is going to clean carpet tomorrow.
Exactly. Sean's going to go in there, and he's going to clean the carpets, and he's going to clean the bathroom.
Right.
And you know what? Sean makes cookies and stuff for us on Sunday morning, and he bakes cakes and stuff like that. And that's the way that he serves.
Exactly.
And Nathan is different. Nathan plays piano, and that's the way that he serves. We're all different.
Exactly.
And we all serve our purpose differently, and we're like a machine.
And it says right here that we should all be doing this. Oh, I love this. I love this. With certain attitude. The attitude being right here in Ephesians 1 about verse 3, with humility and discipline, it says in the message. What does it say in some other translation? Humility and discipline. Humility is being humble, being teachable. Discipline means that we do it steadily, that we don't just, I'm in Ephesians 4 verse 3, we don't do it sporadically. In fact, Paul says right here in this verse that we don't do this work of the Lord in fits and starts. Ever had an engine that was messing up, missing out back in the spark plug days? We don't have that much in engines now, but back in the spark plug days, you could have a couple spark plug wires off. And what did your engine do? Just kind of, jumping and sounding weird. And so often our spiritual lives are like that without spark plugs. It's fits and starts. You start good. Oh yeah, I'm going to read my Bible this week. Oh, I forgot to read my Bible this week. I'm going to go to church this week. Oh, you know, it's a pretty day. Decide to go to the beach. But God says, do it steadily right here. Pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love.
Steadily. I was reminded of a guitar player that we had at our church way back when I was married. And at the church we attended, it wasn't our church. But this guy was great. He was fantastic. He could play the guitar. I mean, he was just fantastic when he was there. You know, and if things came up in his personal life that interfered with him being there, and I won't elaborate on those things that came up because we didn't know about it, but he would not come for a little while. And, it made a really hole in our praise and worship, and it didn't give a really good example maybe to people who would visit in the church. That maybe would come, and see him and then not see him for 3 weeks, and then they keep coming, then maybe see him come back a week and then not see him for 2 weeks. It didn't give a very good witness.
Right. Exactly. Because even God talks about in the Word, like right here in Ephesians, doing things steadily, pouring yourself out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, quick at mending fences. Sometimes people will stay away because they got hurt feelings. Go ahead.
I just love the way it says that in the message.
Isn't it cool?
Alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. Like, notice when something's happening.
Right.
People, like, keep your eyes open.
Right.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
And fix it.
And fix
it. It's not just, you were mentioning that this morning, it's one thing to notice that somebody's hurting. It's another thing to notice that they're hurting and to do something about it.
Absolutely. And so often, that's what we don't do. We don't want to get involved, or we don't want to go out on a limb and say, what's going on with you? Can I help you?
Or we don't feel like we have the boldness to do so.
There you go.
And we don't want the commitment to do it.
Or we don't want the commitment to become involved with somebody and really minister into their life.
Well, I mean, if I saw Aaron, if Aaron seemed to not be doing well, And I, okay, Aaron, you know, well, how can I help you? Is there something happening with you? And I mean it, but then there may be follow through on that. Other than just a quick pat on Sunday morning, and I'm sorry that you're not having a good time. It means that I may wind up calling her on Monday saying what's happening, and maybe by Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday saying let's meet for dinner sometime.
Right.
You know, it requires more.
And it requires a lot of times, you know, prayer in the middle of the night.
Actually, I can attest to that. Nan actually has done that for me.
She has, hasn't she?
Indeed.
Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to be doing for each other.
You're funny.
That is, that's love, guys. That's love.
She sent me a text message one time, too. It started. I love you, Aaron.
I love you, too, Nan.
Yeah. We knew this was going to be a great show.
It is. You know, so often people don't reach out in love, and I'm going to say this, and this is strong, but then I've been talking strong all day, right?
Why stop?
Don't stop
now.
What? Don't stop now. So often people don't reach out in love because they don't want to be in any way committed to the follow through mm-hmm. of prayer, intercession, or ministry mm-hmm. in people's lives. They don't want to become involved. It's like what they used to do some of these shows on people in, let's say, New York City, or some awful atrocity would be happening. People just walk by and just ignore it. Just walk on by. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They used to do some of those documentaries or something. You know, somebody's...
Yeah, like, what would you do?
Yeah, what something. Would you do? Yeah. Somebody's, you know, trying to grab somebody and pull them into a moving car, and people just walk on by. You know? And I think so often spiritually we do that. Go ahead now.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, there might be people out there who are saying, well, what can I do? I don't know what my calling is. And they never do anything because they don't know what their calling is. Well, why don't they just look for something? Like if they were to see Sister Aaron having a rough day.
Sister Aaron.
You know, sorry, Aaron.
Sister Aaron.
I mean, you're preaching and the anointing's on that word. And
yes.
We need to hear that word.
Right.
But there's also other stuff that happens with us that we need to reach out to each other.
Sure.
And so that person may have a calling on their life to reach out to, you know, Aaron, that may be the... And
absolutely.
And maybe someone else. They may just have two or three different people that God leads
yes,
them to. If
yes.
they will look to God.
If
they are willing to want to do what God wants them
if,
to do.
Then.
Then.
If. Then.
I love you guys. You're great students. If we listen to the voice of the Lord and
then,
say, God, use me today.
Then.
What will happen?
He's going to use us.
He's going to use you.
He's going to tell you what to do.
Seriously.
You're going to feel the Holy Spirit move and in your heart, you know.
Right.
You're going to notice that when somebody's hurting, and then you're going to know that it's your job to follow through.
Absolutely. It's so often that we have opportunities to be lazy in the spirit or be on top of it and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I mean, we all wake up, and a lot of times it's Sunday morning, the devil works the hardest mm-hmm. to keep people at home from church, keep people doing their own thing, or I'm too tired, I can't do it. But again, it falls on us to say, wait a minute, I'm cutting through all that. I'm going to go give it the best I can. And that's really love. Aaron, you said it a minute ago, you give it all you got. Go ahead.
And I think, too, so many times when we're at that place, when we're just tired, or when we have a headache, or when we're not feeling good, and we choose to say, you know what, I'm going to lay this aside for a second, and I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to push through it, and I'm going to give it my best.
You did that this morning.
And it wasn't just me. Alice did that this morning, too. Didn't she have a migraine or something this morning, or was that...
That somebody, was somebody else.
Anyway, but still, we all do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you've had shingles for like how many weeks, and you've
three.
pushed through that every Wednesday and Sunday.
I still do. Yeah, still need prayer. Yeah,
somewhere in the middle there, God meets us.
Exactly,
He meets
yes.
us in our weakness,
yes.
and He helps us to have the strength to get through whatever it is
Absolutely.
We're pushing through.
Because He honors our effort. You know, we may not feel like we're 100% on sometimes, you know, but when we step out in faith, He meets us, and it's faith works by love. Okay, that's scripture in 1 Corinthians. Faith works by love. Okay, so what happens is your faith increases as you pour out your love to God. You may be mm-hmm. driving to church, you may be driving to the radio station to do this show today or whatever, and you go, man, I'm tired. I'd like to go home and watch the beginning of the Super Bowl festivities. God says, wait a minute. What have I called you to do? You know? Mm-hmm. Okay? And we have a choice right then. Whether our love for God and what his calling is on our life is stronger than our temporary feelings. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, that was a good answer.
Well,
okay.
No, I also wanted to add to it.
Please do.
You're by no means saying don't get in there to do football and watch football.
Oh, no.
There's still time
for
that.
I'm going home to watch football.
I wanted you to confess that, Pastor.
Right, I'm confessing that, and it's all good. I will be watching football. Go Giants, by the way.
Uh-oh.
We may have a war going there. Yes, go ahead.
But when there's work to do, it needs to be done.
Exactly.
So
absolutely.
It's not about not watching football or not watching baseball or not doing the things that you love to do. There's a time for that.
Yes.
But
yes.
When it's work time, it's work time.
It's right.
And that needs to get done. And that needs to be our priority.
I so agree. And there is that time of pouring out your love. I mean, the greatest preparation that I do during the week on a continual basis to get ready for Sunday is to love on God. More so. I mean, I spend a lot of time in the Word. I spend a lot of time listening to the voice of the Lord. But the most important thing is to just worship. Because as you worship it by yourself, as you worship and praise, from that flow the gifts of the Holy Spirit. From that flows the rhema word for that day. From that worship comes that place of strength where you walk in. Yeah, that's why I walk in like that every Sunday. Because I know we're going to have a dynamite day. No matter what happens, no matter what the sermon is or whether it's even like difficult like today's. But it was because today was all about love, you know, and how we translate that love in our everyday life.
Difficult?
Difficult? No.
No, not difficult.
Go ahead. Great sermon, right? Thanks, Dan.
You're welcome, Pastor.
Is that what you're going to say, Nan?
Absolutely.
I knew
you were. God was really there, and the anointing was really strong, and all the words that were spoken. How do they say? A verse that's fitly spoken is like, what's that verse?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
good medicine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know, and I mean, if anything, it was just all the words that were spoken were just wonderful. And it
Amen.
Was God's word. It was his anointing on it. And, you know, and it ministered to anybody who, it ministered to anyone who wanted to get ministered to.
Okay.
Period.
The result, that was the result of our love for God that gets us there so that we can enjoy what God has for us. Mm-hmm. Our love for each other that says, I want to be there giving not just this offering of guitar music like you're going to do in a minute, Aaron, but to those around me. I want to bless them. I love them so much. And that's how I feel about sermons and about preaching about this radio show now for almost 5 years. It's a commitment every Sunday afternoon for me. But it's because I love God. I remember when we first started this, I had some friends that said, wait a minute, we have a lot of football parties. 4 o'clock on Sundays. You always come. What's going on? Why can't you? I've got a radio show now. What? You know what I'm saying?
It's because you have work to do.
I have work to do. Work for the kingdom.
And it's more important.
Even though I love football, I can tape football and watch it later.
That's right.
But I got to do what God's called me to do.
You only have so much time before the king comes back.
Amen.
You're very passionate about what you do.
Have you noticed?
I've noticed.
I know you thought
have
it
you
was
noticed?
Well hidden.
Yeah, I thought it was very well hidden. Did you think it was hidden, Aaron?
Not at all.
No, not at all. All right. Well, okay.
No, but you're very passionate, and I think that's what makes sitting under your preaching and sitting under your teaching so rewarding, because you are so passionate. I mean, you don't just get up there and go through the motions. You bring the word to us, and you help us to understand the word, which is what you're doing today on the radio show, helping us understand Ephesians, and I thank you for that.
You know, that reminds me of a movie I saw once, what you just said.
Oh, cool.
Many years ago, and it's been probably 20 years ago. This is an old movie. I think the title of it was Pleasantville.
Oh.
Do you remember that movie?
She's too young. Oh.
You're too young,
You're
probably.
Too young,
I don't.
This
I don't
movie was
that.
In
yes.
black and white.
Yes.
Do you remember this movie, Bill?
Pleasantville?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a B movie like Alfred Hitchcock?
No. No. But it was in black and white, and it was a nice little town, but there was something missing in this town.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it. Color.
Color.
Yeah.
And when because it was all black and white, and then gradually, as people began to do acts of love for each other, then color started coming into mm-hmm. this movie.
I saw it.
I need to see that one again, because that is really what we're talking about. When we are so wrapped up in ourselves and just living our life to please us and not being willing to go the extra mile and be passionate about mm-hmm. God and his word and right. what he has for us, we're like that black and white movie.
Right.
But when we allow the love of God, ooh, this is a rhema word. Some of you out there need to hear this and get it down personally right now, because when we allow the love of God to control us, when we allow the love for God to be so a part of us that it changes how we think, it changes how we behave. It changes how we interact with each other, not just at church, but in our homes, among those that we live with and love. When we are that passionate about the things of God and about God, it changes us from a life of being black and white about things and being, you know, like so many people, they put God in a box and he's got to do it this way. You know, it's all about the rules and all about the regulations. Not about that. You know, God wants to come out of that box, and he may want to be doing that right now. And some of your thinking out there, he wants to come out of the box, and he wants you to realize it's all about passion. We're talking about the passion for God, the passion for loving people the way Jesus loved them. It says he walked around this earth filled with compassion. And when you go through looking for the word compassion in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see that when Jesus was hit with, filled with, consumed by compassion, people were healed. Mm-hmm. People were set free. People were delivered. And it's all about that passion.
That's good.
Therefore, we've had plenty of time already so far in our lives to have lived blandly. You know, blandly. You know, you can make mashed potatoes. I love to make mashed potatoes. You can make mashed potatoes kind of like diet mashed potatoes without all the sour cream and the...
diet mashed
You know
potatoes.
What I'm saying? You know, without all the sour cream and the butter and all and salt and pepper. But man, when you add that stuff, wow. Then you got some mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. So love is like the sour cream and the butter.
I've never heard it referred to that way.
I haven't
before.
Either. It's just fresh off the hot plate, right? You can have those mashed potatoes that come out of a box that are bland. But when you add the ingredient, those ingredients mm-hmm. changes everything. It's the same with us. Aaron Boone, we're going to have a song live right here in the studio today because we have you right here. So pretty cool.
She's and on Living the Good Life.
She is.
Erin Boone.
That's right, Bill. And she is actually using her dad's guitar today, which is pretty special. Very special.
You want me to come in there and help you?
You need some help there, Erin?
No, I do need Nan's.
We need Nan's mic, so we're going to pull that around. And we'll pull it off here. What's the name of this first song?
It's called... hold on, let me get up to the... microphone.
That might help. There we go. Okay.
All right. It's called Love the Lord.
Yes.
It goes right along with what you're talking about.
Well, that's not a coincidence. It is a coincidence. It's not. It's God, it's the way God does. Go ahead.
With all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. With all my heart,
soul with all my mind and with all my strength. And I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength. I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I will love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength.
Oh, praise God. Let's get some applesauce for that. That's for sure. Praise God. Woo! Oh, how that just fits in perfectly, Aaron, to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, it was kind of playing that way, I think.
Yeah.
I heard you say the verse this morning.
Yes.
Tonight on Hall of Fame Rockers, Aaron Boone on VH1.
All right, Bill.
I can't wait till that happens.
Yeah, there you go. That was great. I love that song. So when I was talking about that this morning, you just decided to do that today.
You said it, and I was hearing it in my head, and I was like, I was singing it in my head while you were saying that, and then I was like, man, well, that'll fit perfect.
That'll fit perfect. Wow. Okay, let's move on here and talk more about this love. And guys, you know, we all understand that God is love. We understand that God wants us to love. But there are so many times that we find that we just really don't walk in a lot of love. We can be bossy, pushy, controlling, difficult, pouty, resentful, bitter, unforgiving, all of those things. We can be those things. Those are part of human nature. But what God is saying to us, especially in Ephesians 4, is learn to run the race that God has for you to run. Learn to behave is really what he's saying. Learn to act the way God wants us to act. We're still in Ephesians 4. Down to verse 14. And here's what Paul says in the Message Bible. No prolonged infancies among us, please. Don't you like that? In other words, you can't be a baby forever, that's sweetheart. Right. You know, a lot of people go through life just being a baby.
Because there's a difference in being a child and being childish.
There you go. So what's the difference here?
When you're a child, you act like a child.
Right.
When you grow up, you don't need to act like a child anymore because you're not a child.
Right.
So if you're acting like a child and you're an adult and you're growing up in the Lord,
yeah,
then you need to stop being childish.
You know, I agree with you. It was really cute when my kids were little, and Nan, you're a mother of a son, and when our kids were little and they were two and they did two-year-old things, that was great. We loved it. You know, they were funny. They were cute. They said silly things, etc. But now those same kids of mine are in their 30s, okay? Oops, how can that be? I'm only 40-something.
You're 43.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me what I am, yeah. So anyway, maybe I got my kids' ages wrong. I don't know.
You must have.
Yeah, I must have. Yeah. But anyway, now that they are what they are and they have children of their own, it would not be real cute for them, my children that are now in their 30s, to act like 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds, right? 8-year-olds, and have that same type of behavior. And what God is saying to us here is no prolonged infancies among us, please. I'm in verse 14 of Ephesians 4. We'll not tolerate babes in the wood, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And what Paul is saying here is, guys, it's childish to not walk in love. It's childish to be so self-centered that we can't reach out in love. Nan, comment on that. That's heavy duty, isn't it? It's childish.
Heavy going on.
I mean, it's childish to not walk in love.
I think it's also not only childish slash could be selfish. Those 2-year-olds, I mean, I had a great son and everything, but when he was two,
he was terrible. It's all about them.
It's all about them, and I think
my dogs are still that way. It's all about them.
You haven't taught them differently?
Evidently not. Zoe Grace, she's just like, hey, yeah, it's all about Zoe Grace, and she's 7.
She's probably not going to change, Pastor.
Probably not.
That's like 49.
49. Yeah, I know.
She's older than you are.
Definitely. I don't know how any of that happened, but anyway. But good point.
But no, to walk, you know, like as a child, it's also selfish to do that.
Exactly.
And you miss out on so much opportunity of... There's been times in my life I give of myself into situations and church situations or dealing with people, whatever. And it's like, it's so rewarding. You
yes.
actually cut
yes.
off rewards that you would receive from God by not following through doing what you're supposed to be doing. The plan that he has for your life, you're choosing not to see it because you may not like what he's wanting you to do.
Right.
But you miss out on all these wonderful blessings you could have all along the way just if you would do what you're supposed to do and not act like a child and selfish. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give extra time. Oh, I'm not going to give extra time to greet that person after church. I don't want to get tied up. What if she's a talker? Well, so what? What if she is? Maybe
excellent
she needs someone
point.
To talk to.
Excellent
you know,
point.
You could make an impact on that person for the 15 minutes that you listen to them. You may never see them again, but you've made an impact. God, through you, has made an impact because you took your time. Instead of dashing off to the restaurant to meet your friends, you took your time right then to say, hey, what's happening? Can I help you?
So that'd be walking in love versus doing the selfish thing. Do you have a comment there, Aaron?
I'm just in agreement with Nan.
That's that. Good because she's right.
She's right.
Oh, boy.
Because so often it is self-centeredness that keeps us from walking in love. It's that thing, that attitude that says, you know what, you hurt me, and I'm going to make you pay. I'm not talking to you. I have a relative, and I won't say who they are because they might be listening. Sometimes they do. I have a relative that... hope it's not today. So anyway, I have a relative that tends to get very angry or upset about something. And when he gets hurt or mad about something, he will go days and not talk to his wife. And I've seen this through the years in ministry that this is not uncommon about some couples, that they will actually pay back, retaliate by silence. Mm-hmm. And that's not loving. Okay, mm-hmm. That's not communication. We talked about it this morning at Beacon, the importance of communication and telling the truth, which we're going to get to in a minute, and speaking truth into our partner or our husband, our wife, or our children, our grandchildren, whatever it is. Speaking the truth in love is what Paul's talking about here in Ephesians. Speak the truth in love, you know. Don't pout or be quiet and make your point by your silence. That's what I'm trying to say. Either of you want to comment on that?
I was just thinking about, you know, Nan was talking about selfishness and whatnot. And if you really look at the things that you do in your life, there's so much that can be brought back to selfishness.
Absolutely.
You know, you could do something really nice for somebody, but if you're doing it for the reason of getting praise for that, then it's a selfish motive.
Exactly.
So really examine what you're doing to be selfless and what you're doing as a selfish motive.
Absolutely. Right on. Because so often that is where we get in trouble. And so then what happens is people don't get the reaction they want because people sense when something is said or done. Maybe you do a nice thing for someone, but you do it out of your own selfish ambition of what you're going to get from that. And so that is sense that it wasn't given just out of the heart of love. It was given for a purpose. And then resentment follows.
Yeah, I was going to say, and not just they're sensing it, but as well, if you do something and you're expecting, you know, if you do something nice for someone and you're expecting something in return, or you're even just expecting like a thank you or something and they don't say it.
Or don't say it profusely enough.
You get angry about it because it's all about you and you wanted that praise for it and they didn't give it to you. And then you're doing more harm than you are good.
Exactly.
To yourself.
Right. Did you want to comment on that?
Well, kind of on a reversal side of that, if I do something for somebody and I do it just because I know God wants me to do it, and I do it, and there again, like you said, they don't act so appreciative or whatever. We have to kind of check our own spirits and make sure that now I'm going to get upset. But God, you told me too. And God, look, they didn't make a big deal over it. But you know, the most important thing there was you obeyed God.
Right.
Okay, you did. You obeyed God. And
exactly.
That's where the reward will come from God, not necessarily
right.
three, four thank yous from the person, but from
exactly.
God. But from God.
Exactly. And so often it shows our own immaturity when we are all bent out of shape because we didn't get the proper response. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been counseling people for 30-some years, and I can tell you that's a big part of a lot of relationships is failed expectations. And mm-hmm. I deal with this a lot in the second book I wrote, Living Large and Loving It, about failed expectations and how when we are operating from a viewpoint of, I expect, if I do this, I'm going to expect this reaction. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get that reaction, we tend to go into resentment, anger, bitterness. It can go on into bitterness, become a bitter old bag, mm-hmm. all those things. It can be the resentment gets so strong, unforgiveness sets in. It's like if you have a cut on yourself and you have Neosporin mm-hmm. sitting there to put on it, and you think, I'm not going to need that, I'll be okay. And then it gets really infected, you know, and really nasty, and you think, well, maybe I should have, nah, it's all right, it'll be okay. And then it gets worse and it festers or whatever the case may be. That's what happens in relationships, I think, when love is not the motive. Instead, a selfish ambition is the motive. Who wants to comment on that?
Oh, well, I was thinking how that's true.
Oh, very good. it's a Connie response.
Yes, Connie trained me well. We have to watch our motives. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me, what that is saying to me is, you know, we have to watch our motives and to make sure they're pure before God. And I think even Aaron had said something about earlier, you know, sometimes we do things just so people can see that we do things. Okay, if you have a present for someone and it's a box, it's 2 feet by 2 feet, and you bring it into church and you set it down and you give it, you're making a big deal out of, you know.
Uh-huh.
What is your motive? Your motive probably, more than likely, is to be seen by all the rest of church taking that gift to that person, rather than you could say, I have something for you out the car. Now, if it's something live, you need, you know, a plant or a bird or a cat or a dog. No, I'm joking.
Right.
But, you know, if you just have to watch your motive. You know,
exactly.
I mean,
Coke you blessed me with last
you
weekend.
You were supposed to tell anybody.
That's right. I'm telling it on the air.
Did you enjoy it?
I'm still drinking
is
it.
Really
she
left?
Gave me 4 big things. You know, 12 packs of Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Which of course is my favorite. And
but
you did not stand up in the church and say, I'm going to give the pastor 4 big containers.
Yeah,
of that.
I had no idea.
Yeah, you didn't know. Now the whole world knows.
No, everybody knows.
Everybody knows. So, but Nan, you told me to say that, right?
No, oh, you didn't say it right.
I'm teasing.
You were supposed to go in more detail on it.
Go ahead.
You know, like you were saying about the cut and everything. If you have a cut and you put Neosporin on it, it heals. You know, I mean, it might hurt for that moment, but it heals fairly quickly. And if you don't put Neosporin on it and it festers or whatever, and then you decide, man, I really should have put that Neosporin on, and you put it on, sometimes it actually gets worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And it can hurt more.
Mm-hmm.
Before it gets better.
Exactly. And if we don't treat it correctly, a lot of times it can leave a scar.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, this whole thing of walking in love is so critical to becoming all that God wants us to become and growing up in God. And that's what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 4:14-15. God wants us to grow up. I'm reading from the Message Bible. To know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. Right there, that phrase. He keeps us in step with each other. So often we feel like we don't know how to love, especially difficult people. Okay? Difficult people really give us a run for our money sometimes, you know?
Amen.
You know, some people are just cotton picking irritating, right?
Yes.
Cotton picking
irritating. You know, and God says, I want to teach you how to love people even when they're just a little bit more irritating or annoying than the average duck. Right? Mm. Because when we allow God to keep us in step with each other, like it says right here in the Message Bible, he's doing a work in us at the same time, which is pretty darn cool. It's that covert operation the Holy Spirit's doing behind the scenes.
Two birds, one stone.
Yep, two birds, one stone. He's not only helping, blessing that person, but he's doing something in us. And he keeps us in step with each other. I think that is pretty darn cool. So I think it's time to go to a station identification and come back.
Right. WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
Wow. Do you know it's already 5 o'clock? Aaron, get ready for another song. Do you know that we so enjoy this and we get talking and it just goes by so quickly?
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I don't want anybody to think for a minute we don't enjoy every minute of it and want to be here. We do.
May I say this?
You may, Engineer
To the
Bill.
Listening audience who is listening to Living a Good Life.
Yes.
That Aaron Boone's songs should be everywhere and even played on Moody Radio.
You are exactly right, Bill. Thank you. And Aaron Boone, we've got some CDs now, and we're going to be announcing those, how they can get her CDs, and we're going to announce that here soon. Should have done it today. I didn't remember to do it. So,
well, they will be able
to. They're going to be on our website
right
away.
The show, yeah. So
yeah.
They could probably edit that off and play it in there on their station.
Absolutely. So what are you playing, Aaron?
This one's called Mighty to Save.
Mighty to save. Praise God. Let's do it.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Again, I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. My Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the King Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King Jesus. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. my Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
Wow. I love that song. And that was beautiful. Wow. Aaron Boone from our church, Beacon of Hope. Wow. Thank you, Aaron. Oh, my. We are in Ephesians chapter 4. If you are just joining us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, find your Bible and join us in Ephesians 4. You know, Aaron, that song is talking about saving. He's mighty to save, okay? And so often people feel that all that that is about is saving us from our sin, which is huge, of course, to be saved from our sin. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's also talking about that whole saving package where He saves us from all the old junk we used to do, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the whatever it is we've done, you know, the just being, turning our back on God, whatever it is we've done, you know.
I was just going to say the huger thing, which is probably not a word, probably bigger.
That's okay, but I like huger a lot.
The huger thing is that He doesn't stop with sin. Mm. He doesn't just stop with that.
Yes.
He goes along to save us from unforgiveness and bitterness.
Right.
And, you know, everything that you just mentioned.
He just does the healing in us, you know.
He's the salve.
He is, and the saving process is an ongoing process. And as we study in Ephesians 4, we find out that we need to be healed from old ways of behaving and acting. If you just joined us, you'll want to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We usually have our shows up by the next night, so Monday night on our website, it is there. They stay on forever, so you can always go and listen to others' shows that were a part of this series that we're doing right now, Goodness, Grace, and Glory. And so let's go over here to Ephesians 4, and where we've been here, but let's look down at about verse, 23, 24. Paul says in the Message Bible, so get rid of it. What? This old life, this rottenness. Ephesians 4, about verse 23, I think. Then take on an entirely new way of life. You see, when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to do a fresh work in us, we really need to take on this new way of thinking, this new life. And it's not real easy sometimes to do that. Would you agree, Nan? We have to be renewed.
We have to be renewed. I mean, some of the things that He showed me about me, you know, it was like, oh, man. You know, but a real surrendering. And
we're glad God showed you those things about you, man, aren't we, Aaron? We're glad.
You and Connie had a good time with my counselors. It's kind of like shedding off the old man.
Yes, it is.
Continually.
Right.
Because if you don't keep that in check, it can come back up.
Absolutely.
Something that I laid down at the altar and left it there. Well, I found up that all of a sudden I'd gone up there and kind of picked it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, and I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. You know, and it was just, He helped me to lay that back down, but I picked it back up. So it was like, okay, I've given this to you. I've surrendered to you. You've healed me this, but God.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a real surrendering. And sometimes I'm a real strong person. I have a very strong personality type. I'm a very strong person, and I like to kind of be in control things that
really?
Are my area. I don't go in the wrong arena. I don't know my area. But you're so much more in control when you turn it over to him.
When you give up control.
Yeah. When you give up control, that is a big deal of control. You know, it just, you're a very controlled person.
Exactly.
And it's neat to be able to see things that you've laid down.
Right.
And it hasn't harmed you a bit to lay it down.
Right.
It really didn't.
But at the time, you're bellyaching about it, right?
The whole time.
Aaron, you got a comment on that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's breaking old habits, mm-hmm. too. You know, mm-hmm. we have to get out of the same way that we've done things.
Yes.
And if we expect, isn't that the definition of insanity? If we expect that we do the same thing over and over to get a different result.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
No,
if you keep doing the same thing,
yeah.
you're going to get the same result.
Absolutely.
Are you saying I'm crazy?
No.
No,
we're
never.
Not talking about you.
We're
just talking about people in general, really, Bill. We do this.
Well, you know, I do the same thing over and over again like everybody does. We all do it, right?
Yeah.
But what Aaron is saying is...
You can't do the same thing over and over and expect to get a different result.
Right. So you got to change it somewhere. You got to surrender to God. You got to say, God, I can't fix this on my own. This goes right along here with where we are in Ephesians 4, 23 or 24. Get rid of it, that old way of life. That's mm-hmm. what Paul's saying. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. That's it.
Honestly, in my head, that just the way that it says a God-fashioned life. I went to thinking about clothes and thinking actually about the armor of God.
Yes.
And putting on all of that.
Right.
Instead of getting on and putting on, you know, I don't know, a t-shirt of bitterness or
right,
a
there you
coat
go.
Of unforgiveness.
Yes.
Get on and get up and put on the armor of God, the
Absolutely.
Breastplate of righteousness and
yes.
the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation. And
right.
The, you know, I mean, that's what we need to do.
Right. That's and it.
Really
right there.
Do it.
And really do it. And it says right here, God works on the inside of us, working with us, and he begins to accurately reproduce his character in us. Nan, comment on that, because this is so vital, I think, to walking in victory. And so often we get bogged down with the how-tos. How can I walk in love because I am surrounded by unlovely people or difficult people or angry people? And how can I walk in love? How can I walk in truth? How can I walk in kindness?
No, one step at a time.
yeah, you're right.
Sorry. well, I was thinking, reflecting back on where I was a year and a half ago.
Okay.
I wasn't in very good shape a year and a half ago. Wasn't going to church. Had walked away from church. Cause there again. Pastors had hurt me. And it's not going to happen again.
Right.
And then the Lord led me to Beacon through Connie, actually. And I can just see the changes that's been made in my life. As can anyone at the church that was going there at that time who see me at that time, because it was kind of like my open discussion that I would freely share what was happening with me.
Yeah.
And I did that for the benefit of them.
Right.
So they could get to know me.
Right.
And they've seen difference. So I'm rambling, I think, so I'll just shut up.
But that's okay. What you're saying is God has done the work in you.
God has done the work.
What this verse is saying.
Oh, some of it was so hard.
Yes.
I would text Connie, and it's Connie, and I'd whine and complain.
Yeah.
Sometimes she'd say, quit whining, you know.
Quit being a baby.
But, you know, God has done it, and I'm thankful that he has.
Yes.
But, of course, he couldn't have done that if I wouldn't have allowed him to do
that. We've got to give him permission to do the work.
We have to give him permission.
Yeah. You want to comment on it?
I was just thinking, too, love is a choice.
Love is a choice, yes.
You can choose to be sweet, kind, and lovely.
Yes, you can.
Or you can choose to be bitter, unforgiving, and
yeah,
nasty.
Yes. And so many people that we run into are the nasty part. You know, they are. They've got the chip on their shoulder. They're mad at the world. They're mad. Let's look at verse 25 of Ephesians 4 and see what it says here. So what this adds up to then is this. No more lies. Wow, what would this world be like with no more lying?
Mm.
No more pretense. You know, where we pretend to be something we're not. Mm-hmm. or we're not genuine. Tell your neighbor the truth. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. I find that very interesting right here. I think this is one of the keys to walking in victory, and that is to learn to really walk in truth. God's word is truth. Jesus said he was full of grace and truth. The word is truth. But so often we find it hard to find truth in our lives.
So true.
So Ditto. True. You guys are profound.
That's why you had us here together today with you.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about anger right there in verse 20. Is it six? 26. Go ahead and be angry. It's okay, because there are things in life that do make us angry. There are things that are injustices, things that are happen that are not right. And God never says, oh, you can never be angry. Okay?
Wasn't Jesus angry when it
got angry when the
when they used the temple of the Lord as a place to sell livestock. And
exactly. Yes. And he got mad and got, and got the money changers out of there. He says, it's okay to be angry, but you do well to be angry, because the reason Paul says here, I think, and I touched on it just momentarily this morning in the sermon, when we are angry but we don't allow any expression of that or even a discussion of that, we stuff it down on the inside, eventually it's going to blow over.
What was the sign?
The sign in that little couple's house that I listed probably 15, 18 years ago was, he that stuffeth puffeth. Which, can you explain that, Nan? He that stuffeth puffeth?
I can't do it the way you did, Pastor. You go ahead.
Well, basically, stuffing our anger, our bitterness, our resentment causes an explosion someday. And it's going to come out.
Right.
And that's what that little lady of that house explained to me, that she and her husband had difficulty through the years. And she began to realize that she was stuffing all the anger and all the resentment. And she had to learn to let that out in an appropriate way, you know?
Well, I think sometimes I've seen people who have been very angry and held that anger.
Sure.
That kind of stuff can make you physically ill.
Absolutely.
Holding on to that kind of stuff can make you physically ill.
And
just think the freedom that you could have if you wouldn't do that. It's not to say that you have, like you say, that you don't have a right to be angry.
Right.
Because something happens, whatever. Figure out a way to deal with it with God's help so that it doesn't... it's like my ex-husband and his wife hassled me for a long time and dealing with our minor child. And I was very angry. I would get very angry about that. But thank goodness I managed to kind of get my way through parts of that too with the Lord's help, because I was definitely serving him at that time to help me not hold that anger towards them,
right.
and many times I thought of Joseph in the Bible, where he was sold, and then his whole story, and sometimes I actually felt like I was Joseph,
right?
But he had a good ending at the end of the story, because he obeyed God, I think holding on to anger, it actually made my ex-husband, it made a mess of some stuff in his life, because he had anger towards me he held on to, wouldn't let it go,
right?
So it's just a difference, letting go or not letting go.
Exactly. And what Paul is saying here is, don't use your anger as fuel for revenge, and don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. I like those verses. Go ahead. You want to comment on that? No. All right.
You just said it.
Yeah. Don't give the devil. It gives the devil a foothold. Get ready for another song, Aaron. It gives the devil a foothold when we go to bed with our anger, when we don't allow God to show us how to deal with that anger, when we instead let it fester and turn into resentment and bitterness. And this whole chapter 4 of Ephesians is talking about walking in that God kind of love, where we may be angry, but we learn how to deal with that anger and we don't let it consume us. And that's the key. And we've got to learn, as it says here in Ephesians 4, to tell the truth, to not be walking around in pretense, to not walk around in anger. If get angry, then deal with it and move on. What are you doing, Aaron? Which song is this?
This is called Lead Me to the Cross.
Ooh, very good. Can you get the mic up to your your mouth a little better? Okay.
It's
There we go.
It's kind of.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Aaron Boone.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul, remember redemption's hill where your blood was spilled for my ransom, and everything I once had. Count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Tempted and tried, you are. The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost.
Song. I've never heard that. It's great. Can you get Show Me Your Ways ready in a minute?
Sure.
Okay. All right. We are Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and that's Aaron Boone live here in the station with us. And
glad to be here with her, let me tell you.
Yes, aren't we? And I want to go back to the verse 27 of Ephesians 4. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Why not, Nan? Why not go to bed angry? What's wrong with that?
And that's really bad.
But why is it bad?
Well, you know, you lay down and go to sleep. You're worried. You're fretting. You're not worried. You're fretting over it. You're upset. You're whatever.
Sure.
You think about it. You go to sleep angry. And then you wake up, and about the first thing you think about is what made you angry. Mm-hmm. So then you go through the rest of the day, and mm-hmm. it's off. You're working, but still often on your mind. So and so did such and such to me, and I can't believe this happened. And so,
and you
like
tell
you were
45 friends.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah, yeah. You got to confide in 44 friends.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
you know, just trust me with
right.
this.
Yeah.
But it keeps growing, just like you guys are talking, festering, and it just yes. keeps growing. Like the cut that you said that wasn't administered with medicine,
right?
And in a quick response to
right.
that, I think we need to try to work on having a quick response to
yes.
our anger issues.
Yes,
whatever we
absolutely.
Need to do to try to get them.
Why?
You know,
why is it so important to be quick about it? I mean, you're kind of saying that,
well,
but
the when you don't move quickly, Satan is going to help to magnify
right
and
here.
Make it a lot worse than it was, or make you feel more in whatever. I'm not making sense there.
No, you are.
Okay.
Exactly
but,
making sense. Paul says, don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. I really believe that when you are in that semi-conscious state of sleep,
right.
that the devil just works overtime if you allow it. If you're going to bed mad and angry and resentful and all of that, it just gets worse. I really believe that. Bad dreams, nightmares.
You said a key word there I like to focus in on is resentful. That could go right along with what we've already been looking at in Ephesians mm-hmm. about how we all fit together well and we all have mm-hmm. a calling on our lives. You know,
right.
If I want to so-and-so's calling but don't have it, I can become resentful.
Exactly.
And Satan can impact your life that way, just they're getting taken that resentment to bed with you, waking up, picking it back up.
Exactly.
Instead of waking up like Aaron was saying earlier, put on the armor of God in
right.
the morning. You
yes.
get up, you start praying, you start praising, you start whatever you do.
Amen.
Put on your armor and go out in the day. You'll find your day will be much better. And you're minimizing that attack that was coming against you through your own anger.
I mean, absolutely.
Satan gets accused of some things he's not guilty of, I think, sometimes. I choose my own anger.
That's
I choose
exactly
my
right.
choices to be angry. If you did something to me, it's my choice to be angry.
That's
not yours.
Right. But Paul says here, we give the devil a foothold when we don't deal with our anger quickly. You said it a minute ago. You got to deal with your anger quickly and not just let it get. I've known people, and you probably have too, Nan. I've known people who have, they can tell you every awful thing that their husband ever did to them clear back, you know, 45 years ago. Well, then he did that, and then he did that, and then he did that, you know. And none of that was ever really dealt with the way God wants us to deal with it. Doesn't mean that we didn't, that the person that offended us did all the right things. And you know, there are a lot of things are bad that people do, right?
Right. Most
I mean,
definitely.
They really are, you know, and that's okay. You know, let's look on down here. Let's go to, verse 29 of Ephesians 4. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word a gift. Boy, is that ever important.
Ooh. In churches? Woo, yeah. Everywhere, but I'm telling you, in churches, yeah.
So often, people hurt each other, that we wound. You know, what that old saying, we shoot our wounded?
We shoot our wounded.
Yeah.
The church shoots its wounded.
Yeah. You want to explain that, what that means?
Well, if someone is having a tough time with something or something's happening that they're not dealing well with, they're just having a general tough time, you know, we actually have an obligation to God
right.
to reach out to them to try to help and minister to them.
Exactly.
But notoriously what has been said in the past, the church is like the only people that go around that they shoot their wounded.
Right.
Instead of trying to help their wounded, they shoot their wounded.
Exactly.
You know, you have people who don't even claim Christianity will come along and help some people that the fine Christians sitting up in the church looking great in their suits wouldn't even touch.
Wouldn't even touch. Because so often we don't want to be bothered. And really, in Luke 10, there's the story of the Good Samaritan,
yes.
you know? And that is so applicable here. People can go and look at that story. But how that the person was beaten and bruised and whatever, the religious leaders walked over to the other side of the road
right.
and just walked on and didn't do anything to help. And finally, here comes a Samaritan who mm-hmm. was not supposed to really be helping Jewish people.
Right.
I mean, it was like a stigma there. And yet the Samaritan goes and takes him, puts him on his donkey, takes him to a hotel, gets a doctor, gets him bandaged up, does those things. Mm-hmm. And so often we as Christians, we hurt people by not caring about what's going on in their lives. Hurt people tend to hurt people. You know, people who are hurt and haven't dealt with their own stuff so often go right on hurting others, you know. And I think this is huge right here. In verse 30 of Ephesians 4, don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Wow. The Holy Spirit. Oh, man, I want you to help me on that right there. That is so good.
I don't want to break my God's heart.
All right.
You know, at the end of the day, I want him to. Don't cry in it. I want him
okay.
to
Go
be able to
cry.
To look at me and say of me, you've made me proud today.
Mm-hmm.
You've done my work today.
Exactly.
You sacrificed your time.
Right.
You sacrificed your time when you didn't, you know, you took of your time. You could have been watching TV. Instead, you were over at so-and-so's house consoling them
right.
because they were going through a difficult time and they needed someone's shoulder to cry on.
Absolutely.
You were there. And I would want him to be able to say those things about me, that I am there.
It's so important to me. I'm just like you. So often, I when I lay my head on the pillow at night, I want to be able to say, God, how'd we do today? Did we get done what you wanted to get done? Did we get it done, Lord? Because did I miss an opportunity? You
right.
know, did I miss an opportunity to minister grace and mercy to someone? Do you have a comment on that?
I just, I feel the same way Nan does. You know, it's just like the Casting Crown song, Let My Life Song Sing to You.
Yes.
I want to be able to sign my name at the end of the day.
Ooh, good.
You know, saying, I was a servant for you.
Yes.
I told people about you.
Yeah.
And I ministered to them
right.
through you and your yes. Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I want to be able to say that at the end of every day.
Right.
I was sweet, kind, and lovely.
Right.
To the people around me, to the people
right.
that I met today and encountered.
Exactly. You said that a couple of times, and for some of you that may not know why we say sweet, kind, and lovely, that was what my dad said. My dad, who is now with the Lord, but a wonderful pastor, evangelist, missionary, who I learned so much from and was so close to, and he went to be with the Lord in 07. But my dad always told my sisters and I growing up, you know, he would, if we were, somebody was acting up or being bad or whatever, he would just come over there and kind of put that finger right out and say, sweet, kind, and lovely be, you know?
Is it the God finger?
I think it was, yeah, that bad finger over
finger.
Here. The God finger, yeah. It's sweet, kind, and lovely be, you know? And that was his mantra. That was his thing, you know? That's the way he expected us to behave. Sweet, kind, and lovely.
And for that matter, I think that's the way that our Heavenly Father expects us to be.
I agree. I so agree.
You know, Pastor, we've been talking a lot about our interaction with people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to mind that, you know, a lot of our opportunities of ministry are, yeah, inside the church, but I think a lot more are outside the church, and we're supposed to be
yes.
caring that.
Yes,
caring,
amen,
caring
man.
About that person. You know, someone stood in front of my desk the other day, and they're telling me all this stuff that's happening with them, and I'm thinking, in my mind, do I really care about this, you know?
Yeah.
And the Lord said, yes, you do. You're
yes.
there for me.
Yes.
And they come through, and they can talk, and it's that's fine with the ministry. It's just part for the role I play as principal
right.
secretary. It's just one of those things. And, you know, but that's where we're, you know, that's we need to carry it outside. That's, that, and because they're looking. You may be, like they always say, you may be the only Jesus people know.
Absolutely.
You may be the only person who claims Christianity in their life.
Well,
and they're going to look at you, and they're going to judge Christ by the way you live and act.
Absolutely. What did Jesus say in John chapter 8? He said he was the light of the world, but then he right. went on to say in another passage, let your light so shine before men.
Did you get your jacket fixed?
I got it. I'm good now.
People should be watching that.
Yeah, it was interesting, wasn't it? I got it back. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Yeah. I sent out a song of the day, or Connie, rather, sent out a song of the day for me this week,
yeah.
The beginning of the week, and it was a girl by the name of Carrie Job, and she sings this song called We Are, and that's exactly what the chorus says, and I've heard the song, literally I heard the song like 5 times in a matter of 2 days on the radio, and it's We Are the Light of the World,
amen.
We Are a City on the Hill,
yes,
We Are the Light of the World, and we gotta We've got to let the light shine.
Woo! Good. You're going to have to do that one soon. Yeah, that's good. That's great.
Can I say something? I just want to say thank you for letting me have a backstage pass to see Erin out here practicing her song.
That was cool, huh?
That's pretty important, I think.
It's because you're important to us.
Right. There you go. Well, it is. It's good. And Erin, you did this song this morning at Beacon of Hope, or we all did, I guess. Show Me Your Way. I think it's a Hillsong song, isn't it?
It is.
And I've loved this song for a real long time. Because you weren't planning on doing this, so you had to go out there and make sure you had the right chords here, but you got it. And show me your way, Lord, that I may walk with you.
Show me your way, that I may walk with you. Show me your way.
God, what a wonderful song, and you do it so well, Erin. Wow. Let's get back to Ephesians 4 for the last few minutes here, and then we're going to do a song by CeCe Winans, which we've just been really playing a lot lately, I swear. So good. But Erin, thank you for your music today. It was great. Thank you for your comments here. Ephesians 4, verse 31, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another and sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. Whoa. That's hard sometimes. And I'm going to say this about forgiveness, and then I want you two to comment on this. Forgiveness does not mean we agree with the action that was done. I think a lot of times people don't forgive because they think, well, I got to say it was okay that so-and-so raped me or abused me or hit me or said nasty things to me. Forgiveness does not mean we agree with the awful thing that was done. Forgiveness simply means we let it go. They don't owe us anymore. They don't have to make it right. We let it go. We cancel the debt like Jesus did on the cross for our sins.
I like that it says a clean break. Mm-hmm. Like just
make a clean break with
cut it off.
Yeah. Right.
Know?
Ooh,
just
that's
stop
good.
It. Like cold turkey, just stop
it.
And if I may boast in my weakness
yes.
at the moment, I've been asking personally for God to give me more patience with Grandma in the mornings when I watch her. Because sometimes it's frustrating, you know, she can't hear or, you know, she forgets. And I just, I'm like, oh, do I really have to tell you again, like the same thing that I've told you 50 times this morning?
And the answer is yes.
Yeah. And yeah. you know, honestly, I ask God to help me with that. And the Holy Spirit prompts me when I'm, you know, if I say a word harshly,
mm-hmm.
I notice it right then.
Woo.
You know, like he's like, okay, wait a second.
Not good.
You could have said that better.
Mm-hmm.
You could have said that sweeter or kinder. So if we, it goes back to that effort thing. If we make the effort to stop it, he's going to bless us with the Holy Spirit to prompt us when we are doing things that aren't of him.
Exactly.
Thought something to add on to that, Aaron. Sister Aaron. He
Sister
prompted
Aaron.
Sister Aaron. Oh, she got a new name. I'm Nanners and you're Sister Aaron. You know? You were talking about the Lord, Holy Spirit prompting you. And I think that God can always reach out to us where we are. So I'm not saying that, but I think that we can, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we can reject.
Oh, yeah.
And if we reject it long enough and often enough, mm-hmm. there may be the time comes on we don't really sense him.
Like we should.
Like
yeah.
we should.
Yeah.
Because
You're
we've
right.
been rejecting him all that time mm-hmm. instead of like, you know, Aaron's, okay, quick, let me readjust this a little bit. Some people don't want to readjust. They don't
right.
want to hear from him
mm-hmm.
until they get in a big mess. Then they want to hear from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many people
absolutely.
Come back? How many people contact you hadn't heard of in however long? And it's not to say don't call you, you know, if there's a problem, but I've seen some people go in and out of church that way, the
mm-hmm.
same ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew them. I knew which ones was going
right.
to come back.
Right.
One in particular just
came
to mind. I hadn't thought of for 25 years. But, you know, when things were fine, she wasn't going to church. When things were a problem, she got herself in church.
Sure. And, you know, and even though that's a little frustrating for pastors, it is the way human nature is a lot of times. But the bottom line here from what you just said, Aaron, and what you just said, Nan, make a clean break with this kind of behavior. Make a decision. No more cutting. No more backbiting. No more profane talk. You know, be gentle with one another and sensitive and forgive, for heaven's sakes. This is what we're commanded to do. We aren't given the slack to be able to be gossipy or backbiting or conniving behind the scenes or lying. For heaven's sake, guys, we are not able. If we're going to follow God's example, Christ's example, we cannot give into that stuff. We got to make a clean break with it.
Sometimes that's hard because I want to hang on to part of it, Pastor.
Of
Do I have
course.
To let it all go?
Sure. I know. Well, I know. But yes.
I know.
But
I'm being
in our human nature,
right. Absolutely.
We want to.
It just keeps going back to that if, then, thing.
Yes.
If we make the effort to change and to be kind and be sweet, kind, and lovely.
Yes.
He's faithful to help us along with that.
Oh, amen.
And help us break those chains of bitterness and anger and just nasty talk and
right.
If we do our part, he does
absolutely.
His.
You know, some people get into the habit of cussing a lot, you know, and saying a lot of stuff that, you know, they wouldn't want their mother to hear or their grandmother to hear or whatever. But we can get into those habits, and that's another thing that we need to make a clean break with that kind of talk. Because it'll slip out at the wrong times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I know someone who has been in my life who has a filthy, filthy mouth. I mean, just terrible. But you know what? When around her mother, the language didn't flow like it did when not.
Ah.
Selective.
Yes.
I pointed that out, too. But, you know.
Okay, good point.
But, I mean, but you know, we can, like, we would know not to come in speaking like that around you or someone at the church.
Right.
But we might let our hair hang down, if you will, and when we're in other settings because.
But it doesn't look good.
No.
And it's not what we are supposed to be doing. Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, it's funny because we do a lot of that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We think, oh, well, you know, it's okay if it's outside of church because then, you know, pastor won't see me or whatever. Newsflash, God is always watching.
There you go. I may not be with you, but God is. Yeah.
On top of that, mm-hmm. your character is when nobody is watching.
Exactly. That's when the real
character. That's who you are.
Yes.
Is when nobody's watching, that's who you really are.
That's right. That's where your character is, that integrity. Yeah. Exactly. Where is it? One of my grandsons, Levi, had to write a paper this past week on integrity. It was a short little thing, but it was very interesting insight to see what an 11-year-old thought integrity was. And my daughter read it to me, and it was really about telling the truth, and it was about being who you really are, you know, type thing. And I thought, that's pretty cool. We so often allow ourselves the permission, let's say, to be hateful, resentful, gossipy, mean, angry, just so we don't do that at church. That's a good point, Aaron. We do. And then what happens is the people most affected, and I brought this up this morning in the sermon, are the people we live with. And those are the ones we should love the most and really treat the best. Yet the devil so often gets a foothold in there and causes us to not walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean you agree with the thing done, but Paul says here, forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. That's what we are commanded to do. We're commanded to forgive. So often, did you have a comment to that?
I was just going to say it's not an option.
It's really not an option.
We try to treat it like an option, but it's really not an option.
No, it really isn't. And so often we don't have the strength. We really don't. We don't have the emotional strength, maybe the spiritual strength, to overcome some of these bad habits like lying, like gossiping, like all these things that we're talking about, unforgiveness, extreme outbursts of anger. In our own selves, we don't have it. That's why the Holy Spirit has got to do the work. We have got to turn ourselves over to him. That's why we're going to play this song again. Third week in a row, we are playing this song. And I am going around my house singing this constantly. Listen to it. And then, Bill, get it queued up again more quietly while I pray for people. But let's hear it first just the way it is. His Strength is Perfect by CeCe Winans.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what he can do for me. No great success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when
His strength is perfect
there. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. And that's the answer. Let's pray together. There's some of you out there right now, you've been listening to this show and you go, wow, I wish I could walk in the God kind of love. I wish I could walk in forgiveness. I wish I could give up some of this resentment. Dear one, you can, and you do it by the power of the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you. In your own strength, you can't do it. But with him, you can. Let's bow our heads together and pray right now. We're going to ask that the Holy Spirit minister to your heart right now, wherever you are, whether you're hearing this show live or maybe on down the road on our website. Lord, we ask right now for every listening ear that they would actually understand that with you, we can do these things. We can overcome the anger and the hatred and the bitterness and the resentment and the unforgiveness that happens in our lives. We can get over that. We can break down those walls that keep us from others. We can get over the hurts that have happened. We can let them go. And it's not because of anything we do, but it's because of you, Holy Spirit, and you working on the inside of us and teaching us how to forgive and let go, teaching us how to let go of the anger and the resentment. And Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you do a fresh work in every single listener, that they would, each of us would be willing to let go of these things that have so tried to hinder our walk with the Lord. We renounce that anger, that hatred, that resentment is sin. We let go of the unforgiveness in our lives. We forgive. We release forgiveness to those that have hurt us. We release forgiveness right now. And it's not in our strength. Your strength is made perfect when we acknowledge our own weakness. Let's play that again. Ooh, there it comes. Praise God. I just pray for emotional healing for those that are listening to this show right now. I just ask you, Lord, to do that work that needs to be done. There are some of you out there that have had such resentments with your spouse, your partner, your husband, your wife, the person you live with. Bitterness has set in a long time ago. And God would say, today is the day to let it go. Today is the day to truly forgive your partner, your spouse, your husband, your wife, whoever it is. Let it go. Give it to God, because his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. When we don't know how to solve it, he can. Amen. Amen. So whoever it is you need to release forgiveness to right now, do it right now by an act of faith. Say, Lord, I may never agree with what they did to me, but I let it go. I cancel the debt. They don't owe me anymore. Let go of that anger, that pocket of anger and resentment on the inside of you for whoever and whatever situation that's happened. Let it go. Let it go. Do it right now as we turn this music up a little bit, Bill, and let the Holy Spirit minister one more time here.
We can only know the power that he holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to
God. There you have it. That's the answer right there. Oh, Aaron, Nan, I want to give you an opportunity for a quick final word here on this show. It's been a great one. Praise God. Aaron, you want to go first? Great songs, by the way. Thank you so much for giving of yourself and your talents here on the air live today.
No problem. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed to be able to be here.
Yeah, actually. It's fun.
I just want to encourage anybody that's out there that's listening right now. I mean, we went over a lot today, but I just encourage you that as you put forth the effort to change and to be led by the Holy Spirit, don't allow Satan to beat you up when you mess up.
Yeah, good
because
point.
It's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
We're good human, point. And sometimes we mess up.
Yeah.
So that's just what I want to say is, you know.
Good point.
Forgive yourself.
Right.
You know?
Good. Excellent point.
When you mess up, don't let Satan beat you up about it. Just go on.
Go on.
Keep Amen. Moving on towards that goal of being sweet, kind, and lovely.
Amen. Woo. Good words. Nan.
I have a two-verse poem I wanted to read really okay. while Aaron was singing a while ago. Show me the way I am to take. Father, I desire to bring glory to you. Help me to always clearly see the path. I want to know what you desire me to do. Let my mouth be used to bless others that may come across my path today. I will be the mouthpiece that you desire. That is what I now sincerely pray.
Oh, excellent. Woo! That's your final thought, I take
my final thought is just, yeah, just people need to be, hopefully, yes.
That's great. If you want a copy of that, just email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Check us out. Find out what we're all about. And realize that we are all about the Word of God, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And there's so much that God is doing and wants to do in our lives. We just have to allow Him to do it. We welcome you. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and enjoy a service with us with our great praise band worship team. They are fantastic. Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, the Word, the ministry to people. It's amazing time. Sundays at 10, Wednesdays at 7 for Bible study. And as always, we invite you to give a financial donation if you can and will and want to. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go on PayPal and you can plant seed into this ministry. And we will be grateful for that, and it helps to pay these radio bills. We just encourage you to remember our prayer line if you need anybody to be praying for your needs or somebody you know. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Use that prayer line. It is there for you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nan Watson, Aaron Boone, right here live in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. On this February day in 2012. God bless you. Have a great week. We're going to be right back here next Sunday live at 4 o'clock. Hope to see you then. Have a great week. If we can help you, write us, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It's not far.